That'd be to Devarca. I think it'll be ridden much more aggressively up to this trip. So I've got him coming forward off the wide gate. Tilbury Lodge is the other one that'll go forward, along with Coys, who's drawn out. So genuine pace in the seventh, Ray.
I like number two, Tammany Hall here, Paul. Two runs back, was resuming off a let-up and was bringing it Gosford. Won really well and came from fourth on the turn. Drawn nicely in gate two here, so it should be able to stalk the leaders again. Last start at Canterbury, look, just put a line through that run. It got back in the field from after being a little bit slow to begin and then was held up from the top of the straight. Couldn't get a clear run at any stage. Ran 7 of 9 behind Ray Jims, but it should have been right in the finish. And back to provincial grade, I think it's well placed here, number two, Tammany Hall. From number one, Kibitza Devarca. Look, not surprised, there's been money for it, as Glenn said. Good solid first up effort at the Beaumont track, running second to what could be. Only concern I have, Paul, he's second up going out to 1350, which will suit, but his two, he did win second up last prep at 1600, though, and both his career wins have been at the mile. So I just wonder whether perhaps he may need a fraction further. Number 10, Balladake, consistent mare this, and a light effort last up behind Deluxe at the Beaumont track. Slightly awkwardly drawn here, but gets any luck in running, she'll be in the finish. And number six, Little Miss Brown, put the writing on the wall first up with a fast finishing effort here over the 1350 at Wyong. But two, Tammany Hall, drawn to get the run of the race here and will be hard to beat. 2-1, 10 and 6 in race 7.
Look, I'm with you, Ray. Same numbers, different order, 2, 6, 1 and 10. I thought Tammany Hall was very unlucky at Canterbury last start. Should have finished a lot closer, and before that was terrific at Gosford. So he comes here in form and maps beautifully, as you just said. So two on top, Tammany Hall for me. Six, Little Miss Brown. Look, she likes this soft track. She's got good stats here at Wyong. I've got her as the danger. Just needs a touch of luck from the draw. One, Kibitza Devarca, can definitely improve. He's very consistent in the money at 7 of 9. And I thought number 10, Validate, was the best of the rest. Just probably not as well suited on the soft track as she would have been on top of the ground. So it's 2, 6, 1 and 10 for me in the seventh.
Well, Mitch Manners boxes the same numbers, but in a different way slightly to Paul and Ray. He's gone 2 Tammany Hall to beat 10, 1 and 6. So the boys have really boxed it up there in race 7. Mitch going 2, 10, 1 and 6. Glenn's given you the market for the last year. We've got Viceman the favourite at 340 or equal favourite with Treviso. So numbers 1 and 8 both at 340. And he told us Miss Bunny Hop, Paul, has been, well, basically 11 into 650 and best backed.
Yeah, look, an absolute stack of speed in the last. I've got all of these going forward. I couldn't find one that naturally goes back in the field. So pressure right on. It's only 1,000 metres, so I suppose you'd expect that. But in this case, that I really can't find any back markers.
Yeah, it's going to be on for young and old from the start, isn't it, Paul? Look, I've got Treviso on top from Miss Bunny Hop and Never Out. Look, Treviso's resuming here. How about its form from three runs last prep, Paul, with one on debut at Gosford, just holding off seventh Sheik, who subsequently came out and won at Canterbury. Then at Randwick, it ran third behind Russian Revolution and Morton's Fork, both group winners during the spring, and then was spelled after running third to Kentucky Miss and King of War and Kentucky Miss trained on the winner stakes race. So the form around him is super. I was interested in his Gosford trial, Paul. He's ridden off the speed that day, cruising home, run fourth behind Could Have Been. So, look, only 1,000 metres, as Paul said, drawn gate four. He won't be too far away from if it doesn't lead. I think number one, Treviso, is the horse to beat. Number five, Miss Bunny Hop. Look, great money for him, as Paul said, as Glenn said earlier. No wonder, because that recent trial at Wyong, gee, Paul, you wouldn't see a better trial. She absolutely toyed with a pretty handy group of horses behind her, including a stakes winner, and Wouldn't It Be Nice. Won brilliantly, has obviously come back in terrific order, number five, Miss Bunny Hop. Watch for her. Number seven, Never Out, was good on debut at Gosford, failed at Warwick Farm, back to the Wyong 1,000 metres will suit Never Out, and four, Tornadic, the best of the rest. Terrific race to last, one Treviso on top from 5, 7 and 4.
Yeah, I've gone 8, 1, 4 and 5 in the last. I've got Viceman on top here for Joe Pride. One start, one went down at Canberra on a soft track, was wide, did all the work, was much too good winning by 3 lengths, and he's since had a trial where it was actually held together just in behind them. So that might give him that little bit of tactical edge here if Brenton Abdullah can let this speed go and finish over the top. One Treviso, similar story with him off that trial at Gosford. He's already got the form on the board, so he's an obvious danger. The four Tornadic, just the barrier is the concern, but he's got plenty of early pace and he'll definitely be up there fighting it out. I thought he'd run behind Gibraltar Girl, really stands him in good stead for this. And the five Miss Bunny Hop, as Ray said, off that last Wyong trial, you've got to throw her into your numbers. I've gone 8, 1, 4 and 5. I found that the toughest race of the day.
All right. Mitch goes for Treviso, number one, to beat 4, 8, and 5. 1, 4, 8, and 5 in the last. Mitch will be on air at around 10 to 11 to go through more detail of his tips, but he does like Tammany Hall, race 7, number 2. What about you, Ray? What's your fancy?
Yeah, I like 2 actually today. Andrew, race 3, number 6, Madonic. I think she's a smart 2-year-old set to make a winning debut into Tammany Hall, race 7, number 2.
Okay, so 3-6 into 7-2 for Ray. And Ray's the big guy on Saturday morning. Duff's in Hong Kong like everyone else will be. Joycey's going there too, Ray. You wouldn't believe it. But Ray's on.
Enjoy it, Paul.
Yeah, I wish I was carrying your bag. But he'll be on air on Saturday morning with Jason Witham and with Mike Fraser, and they'll have it all on Saturday. So, Ray, enjoy today, and we'll hear you on Saturday.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Ray. Ray Thomas there. What about you, Paul? What's your best for Wyong?
Yeah, look, I like race 2, number 2, Epitomise. Ray also had this runner on top, trained by Team Hawks. Tommy Berry rides, and she ran second to Witches last start at the Beaumont track. I'm sure that's the right form line for this. So race 2, number 2, Epitomise, the best of the day at Wyong.
Race 2, number 2. All right, good luck today, mate. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the podcast preview for Rose Hill, and then you're on the plane, mate. Let's hope there's some joy in, as Gary Portelli said yesterday, what about if we dead heat? Do I have to do everything Gary Moore does?
So I don't think you could pirouette as well as Gary. I think no. Gary Moore's got that one locked up. So I'd like to see Gary Portelli try, though. It would be entertaining viewing.
It certainly would be. Mate, safe travels. I hope the week goes really well up there and the Aussies can run well on Sunday.
Yep, and I'll stay in touch, Ben, so I'll be crossing as often as I can.
I know we're running late here, but just a quick mention just before Paul goes. The Wrap is back on Sunday between 9 and 10 while Thoroughbred Weekly is off. Now, Paul will be the regular host, but he's in Hong Kong. He will be joining us at about 10 to 10 on Sunday morning if we can wake you up, Paul, to get your best there for the international meeting. But listen for it. The Wrap is back on Sunday morning between 9 and 10. Good on you, Paul. We'll talk to you over the next few days.
For sure. Thanks, Andrew.
Paul Joyce, and our preview for today's racing at Wyong, the first there at 10 past one. Coming up, the news break, then it'll be Tab Talk, the latest on NBL, and I know Sean and Jared Middleton will also have many trainers looking towards Wyong today.
It's 11 minutes past 10. Good morning, I'm Leanne West. A child has been thrown out the window of an apartment as his family tried to escape a fire at Ashfield in Sydney's Inner West. The 4-year-old boy was caught by a bystander while a man in his 30s broke his leg when he leapt from the top floor apartment. A woman trapped inside the unit was rescued by firefighters. 4 people were taken to hospital after the blaze. And fire investigators are sifting through the mess of a row of shops destroyed by fire at Fairfield in the city's west. The blaze broke out around 10 o'clock last night in Ware Street and was finally extinguished at around 2:30 this morning. There were concerns that people may have been living in units above the shops, but no one was injured. There's been an earthquake this morning in Indonesia, the 6.8 magnitude quake striking off the island of Sumatra. There's been no tsunami warning. A 19-year-old man has died after his 4-wheel drive rolled and hit a tree at Lime Kilns, east of Bathurst, in the state's central west. A man has limped into a Sunshine Coast police station with broken hands and a broken leg, claiming he was deliberately run down by a 4-wheel drive. A 37-year-old man has been charged over the attack. And Australian musicians Keith Urban, Sia and Flume have scored Grammy Award nominations. To sport now, and David Warner has confirmed his place as one of Australia's greatest batsmen in one-day internationals. The opener blasted 119 as Australia tallied a massive total of 5 for 378 against New Zealand in Canberra. It was Warner's 6th ODI century this year, Mitch Marsh chipping in with 76 off just 40 balls. New Zealand was bowled out for 262, Australia home by 116 runs. Former Cronulla star Ben Barber is being targeted by cashed-up Japanese rugby union club. The premiership-winning fullback is back in Sydney after a stint in rehab. He faces a 12-match ban for cocaine use should he return to the NRL. Off-contract Brisbane halfback Ben Hunt will test the open market next year and says he's prepared to leave the Broncos. Meantime, Canterbury's Aidan Tolman has signed a 3-year contract extension with the Bulldogs. Socceroos midfielder Aaron Moy has been named Player of the Year by his peers at the PFA Awards, Matilda's goalkeeper Lydia Williams winning the Women's Award. And Clay Thompson has scored an incredible 60 points in Golden State's NBA win over Indiana, and he did it without playing in the final quarter. Sydney weather today, partly cloudy with a chance of a morning shower, tops of 25 in the city and 28 in the west. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Throughout 2016, Sky Sports Radio brought you every magical moment.
And that's not stopping as we head into the festive season.
Oh, the Tristana, absolute ripper. It's a ripping finish.
This Sunday morning at 9, The Wrap returns, reflecting on all the week's racing. Plus, Paul Joyce's preview of International Race Day from Hong Kong. Trainers, jockeys, stewards updates, crucial tab movers. All this and more on The Wrap. Sunday morning from 9 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
At the new look Queensland Summer Racing Carnival, the best jockeys in Australasia will be riding for pride in the Origin Jockey Series. Round 1 begins this Saturday with Michael Rodd and Karen McAvoy, Michael Walker and Jim Byrne, and 8 of the best hoops in the land competing across a great day's racing. See them only at Eagle Farm this Saturday. The Origin Jockey Series. For details, go to youbet.com or check your local form guides.
They're off. Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
It's the first time he's finished a MotoGP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
Good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrove, Jared Middleton, tab.com.au. How are you, Jared?
Great to be with you on hump day, Cozzy. How are you?
Good. Now, Shannon Perry's been gracious with his time. He's about to load horses in 5 minutes' time, but he's with us now. Morning, Shannon.
Sean, Jared.
You got Painted Lady in the first, in the second rather today. She showed pace in 2 runs before a spell. Trial the other day at Wyong was a beauty.
Yeah, she's a beautiful filly, fast net rock, God bless him, and, you know, just Tim Clarkey rides real well for everybody, but we have luck with him, but we're a bit worried about Blake Chin coming there for one ride, but, you know, she'll run right up to her trials, and she's doing side Blake, so Timmy will make it hard for him, I hope.
$3.40 on tab.com.au. Race 6 in the benchmark, 64 over the mile. Shannon, number 2, Nick on the run. Brenton Abdullah rides a $9.50 chance. It does get back 3.5 lengths off the winner there at Taree the other day. What'd you make of his run?
He needed the run. It was a bit like Sean and myself on the larger side of life. He expected it for today. And, you know, Brenton will squeeze every bit of ability out of the horse, so... You know, I'm looking forward to watching Brenton do some good for us.
Righto, the 7th, we've got Tilbury Lodge. It's had the 2 runs back. Both been nice runs.
He's fit as a fiddle. He really is. He's picking well as an afternoon, very bright and chipped. So, you know, he's each way forever.
$9.50 and in race 8, number 9, all a flutter from the inside draw. Timmy Clark again. This filly, $10, we've got it. First up off a trial as well here, Shannon.
Yeah, well, this time last year we're trying to get to the Magic Millions too old with her, so she has had a bit of a thought about it for a very long time, but, you know, there's 7 races to watch beforehand and see what Dad wants to do there, whether he leads or sits. But, yeah, she's a very nice horse.
Now, of yours today, what's the pick of them, Shannon, of yours?
Race 2, I'd say for sure.
Okay, that's the first one, Painted Lady.
Yeah.
Now, you've got an interesting situation with a relative of yours who travelled overseas and sadly did not take out travel insurance. It's very sad and a good lesson to be learned here for people.
Yeah, It is. The name's Victoria Vanstock. She's my wife's niece. I've known Victoria for a good part of 22 years, and I've never met her boyfriend, Lewis McIndoe, who's also a Newcastle fella, but I'm sure he's crying for his girlfriend as it is. But the story goes, Sean, and our listeners, that last week they were in Bali. They had a motorbike accident. And obviously in Bali, people do not wear helmets, which is a must, but they never. And they were in a ditch for a long time, a couple of hours, and there was two English Army veterans with medical experience. They were the first on the scene. Then two Dutch nurses come and give assistance, and God bless them, like how things work out, they were there. And then there was an Australian man who lived in Bali who took charge of the crash scene, and he made contact with all our family back here, and even before the family got there, started paying for all the medical treatment, which is a brave thing to do. It's a total stranger. He must have a heart of gold, guy. Mm. But, you know, like, it's terrible, really, because without travel insurance, young Victoria, her bill to get out of the Bali hospital was $50,000. And then, I know, it's crazy. And then, like, Jeff McCloy, who's the ex-Lord Mayor of Newcastle, he's a genius of a man. His daughter goes out with Victoria's brother, Luke, and they run a pub together, and they're doing all charity auctions and all that. The Lucky Country Hotel in Newcastle next Tuesday night, they're having a charity event for Victoria. But Jeff McCloy, he flew Victoria to Perth in a medic plane, which was $47,500. I'm sure he doesn't want the money back, but
gee whiz.
The family's pretty proud, and they do want to pay him back, and I think humanity needs to know that. And also, like, she's in a bad way. She's got a whole face reconstruction, the majority of the teeth replacement. She's got spinal damage. She has lost a kidney. She's got spleen damage, broken ribs. And, you know, that's what they know so far. And, you know, she's an adorable, free-spirited young girl. And there's a website called GoFundMe.com for Victoria Vanderstadt, and Jeff McCloy's daughter Hayley, that goes out with Victoria's brother Luke, has set that up, and they've raised about $60,000. But this girl and her family's going to need a lot more than that, and the money's come from far, like America even. And, you know, I'm just asking the Constellation Racing community to get behind Victoria Vanderstadt, please, and $5.
Yeah, gee whiz, Shannon. I tell you what, she's lucky to be alive, mate.
Yep. Yeah, it's terrible.
Unbelievable. Terrible. It really is. Well, our thoughts and our prayers are with her. Let's hope she makes a recovery.
Someone out there, can give $5, you know, just anything.
It helps, doesn't it?
The racing community's got bigger hearts than that, so please, I plead with you, do something for her, someone.
Well, mate, we hope people will jump on board. As you know, the racing community are fantastic. When someone's down, they're the first to hit their kicks and help out, and they are wonderful supporters, and I'm sure they will come to the fore. And, mate, pass on our best wishes, and good luck today. Let's hope a winner gets up at Wyong for you today and boosts the spirits of the family.
No, that'll be good, but once again, someone do something, every little bit helps.
Yep, terrific. Good on you, Shannon. All the best, mate.
Yeah, on you, sir.
Thanks, Shannon. Amazing story. Oh, boy, gee, she's lucky to be alive, Jared, when you hear that story, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. And my sister lives in Bali, actually, and she had to get medevaced out of there as well back about 6 years ago, because she did have travel insurance. And I remember her saying she only had the basic travel insurance that you get, you know, when you select your category when you're going overseas. And if she didn't have it, she'd be, you know, she would have been in strife as well. So it's a good lesson to everyone, but certainly thoughts and prayers to Victoria there. And let's see if we can put in the pocket and just put a fiver in each and help out it.
Okay, so it's GoFundMe. You'll see her name there, Victoria Vanderstat, and that's where people can help out and help the family out. And as you can tell by the way Shannon's speaking, it certainly is very close to the heart and it really has knocked them about. So yeah, we hope you can help. 24 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio. Looking at the NBL, a while ago, Jeremy Lalazier was travelling all over the countryside. Well, he was more than that. He was all over the world. And I think we might know now why. He's with us, Jeremy, General Manager of the NBL. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. How are you?
We're good. More games, longer season, teams in two Asian countries in the next 2 years on the NBL agenda.
I think that's almost an inevitability now. We have identified that there really is an appetite for our product in Asia, and we're going to do everything we can to deliver on taking our content to the rest of the world. I think we're starting to make a mark pretty quickly as one of the best competitions in the world.
Jeremy, when we say Asia, what countries do you encompass? I mean, we immediately think of China, but there are others there, obviously, you'll be targeting?
Yeah, that's right. Well, certainly the front runner is China. I mean, it's an enormous population, obviously, but not many people know or realise that it's the second biggest sport in the country, basketball after football. And, of course, you've got the legendary Yao Ming over there who's driven attention to the NBA in millions or hundreds of millions over the past decade. And now that we're the number one league in Asia, and from 1 January next year, Australia is part of Asia for FIBA qualifying purposes, they're really starting to sit up and pay attention. We've got a couple of Chinese guys in the league this year, and I think we'll see that greatly improve next year. And so China remains the front runner, but the other one not far behind is the Philippines, population of just under 100 million, and basketball is by far and away the biggest sport in the country there. So the Philippines is a definite market that we'll be addressing also.
Well, you look at the quality of the league, Jeremy, but also the closeness. I mean, you have a look at the moment. The top team, the Kings, are 9-6. The bottom team, 6-8. I mean, you couldn't have envisaged as CEO a better season.
No, you're absolutely right. I think one of our players, David Barlow, who must be a mathematician in his spare time, did the statistics on the top of his head in an interview during the week and saying mathematically it almost couldn't be any closer than this at this point of the season. And that's exactly what we want to see. But not only that, people were saying at the beginning of the season that it was going to be Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Perth, top four, and you lock it in now. That's not the way it's panned out at all. And in fact, we've got the top three teams from the end of the regular season last year in Melbourne, Perth and New Zealand, currently the three bottom teams on the ladder, which is the exact inverse of what everyone was predicting. So I think it's been an incredible season so far. You can throw a blanket over the entire field and literally anyone can win any game. So I don't know what that does for your market, but I can tell you it makes a pretty compelling viewing.
Well, they're very tight. I mean, I'm looking at this week, the shortest price favourite's $1.55. I mean, that's a pretty tight market. I mean, it all starts tomorrow night with New Zealand. They're $1.75 up against Brisbane at $2.08. I mean, New Zealand lost at home to Illawarra by 4. And then lost by 24 in Melbourne. Brisbane, they beat Perth away and then lost to Cairns at home last week. But how do you think these two teams are tracking?
Well, both of them are struggling at the minute. The Breakers have lost 4 in a row and they had a healthy 16-point win last time they played Brisbane, though. And then Brisbane themselves have lost 2 of their past 3, so they need to get back on a winning platform themselves. The Breakers are in really unfamiliar territory for them at the bottom of the ladder at the moment. While that would be a great motivator, it probably doesn't do much for their confidence. I think the Bullets might be the more composed team at this stage. Fantastic, level-headed team with some really senior people in there, not only at coaching levels like Andre Lemanis, but Daniel Kickett, Adam Gibson, Tom Jarvis, you know, a really senior leadership group there that I think might be the ones to steady the ship and get over the line in this one.
What about Andrew Gaze coming out having a little bit of a crack about the Sydney Kings schedule?
Oh, yeah, look, I've yet to meet a coach who's happy with the schedule. There are so many scheduling constraints that we're up against. We have things like the Australian Open to contend with in Melbourne. We had massive renovations being done in Illawarra at the beginning of the season, which means by necessity teams had to have more games at home at either the beginning or the end of the season just to logistically make it work. So there are always constraints and it'll always favour some teams over others. But, look, I don't think the Kings had the worst of it. There are others who have had some challenging scheduling circumstances as well. So each to their own.
The thing is with Andrew Gaze, no matter what he says, it's going to be blown up. So that's either going to be a problem for you or a positive.
No, look, Andrew's a great ambassador for the game and an absolute champion of the game, obviously, so we love having him involved. And as I say, any news is good news, and we want Andrew to be talking about the game as much as possible. I don't think the market is particularly surprised when they come out and hear a coach complaining about the schedule or the distance they've got to travel or anything along those lines. It's pretty par for the course.
Sydney Kings, first place, 9-6. They're travelling to Cairns, $1.75 favourites. Cairns, $2.08 at home. Cairns, well, they beat Brisbane the other day, and Sydney had a win in that shootout against the Hawks.
Oh, it was a great game. Look, the Taipans have the toughest venue to win in at home, though, in the NBL, and it's another great test for them with league-leading Sydney coming to town. They've already met three times this year. Sydney has won two of those three, but remember, one of them was an incredible game winner from Kevin Lish. We've come to know him doing that quite often now, but it's pretty much a line ball between them in terms of their three games so far. I'm going with Cairns because of the home factor. They're very hard to beat right now and probably doubly hard to beat at home.
Righto. We look at Perth and Melbourne. They're in Perth.
They're in Perth, and this is actually game number 56 of the season, which is exactly the halfway point. Interesting, Perth at the moment, they've made the playoffs the last 30 years in a row, but they're struggling now with four straight losses. They've lost three of their past four home games, which hasn't happened in, I think, the best part of the last decade. On the other hand, you've got Melbourne United on a roll since the signing of Casper Ware. He's been a fantastic tonic for the club, and he's become hugely popular in Melbourne already. They've got three straight wins since his arrival. And then you've got the return of Chris Golding in the last few weeks, who's been in great form. Todd Blanchfield back into the side last week as well, has given them an injection. Perth just don't look to be in sync right now, and they seem to be relying on too few people to do too much of the work. So I'm going to go for Melbourne in this one, even though it's at Perth Arena.
Not the worst odds either. It's $1.90 a pick, that game, Perth v Melbourne on Friday night with tab.com.au. How are Adelaide tracking? They're $1.55 favourites against the Breakers on Saturday, who are $2.45. They did beat Perth the other day, 6-6 on the season.
Look, I think they've completely turned their season around. They've had three straight wins now to be on the verge of a top four place. They love to score points. Last I checked, they were the highest scoring team in the competition. And that's where the Breakers have really been letting themselves down by giving up too many points. So a weaker defensive team against an incredibly strong offensive team can sometimes spell disaster. And I think that might be the case for the Breakers at this point. I think the 36ers are going to go on a rampage in this one. They have too much firepower against the Breakers team that just appears to be low on confidence at the moment.
Brisbane Illawarra looks a ripper game.
It is a ripper game. Look, it'll be the first time that these two teams have met this season. And it's great to have the only two teams who are foundation clubs back in 1979 meeting again for the first time since the Bullets have returned to the competition. But the Hawks have been in good form. They've got four wins in a row before going down to the Kings on Monday night. But the Bullets are coming back from a game in Auckland a couple of nights earlier. And they've been a bit disappointing in their last two home games with losses to Adelaide and Cairns. But I think ultimately at the Brisbane Convention Centre, I think they'll get up and secure the home victory.
And the weekend rounds out with Sydney and Melbourne and Cairns and Adelaide. Sydney and Melbourne, they meet again. Sydney $1.60, Melbourne United $2.35.
Oh, it's a massive game on Sunday afternoon in Sydney. And look, get along if you get the opportunity, because Qdos Bank Arena is a spectacular venue. And